Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Manipro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. Manipro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is, of course, Thursday, December the 2nd, and I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us right now in the live chicken chat room. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the world. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button there at our homepage. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about our passion of backyard poultry, show poultry, and sustainable living. I would also like for you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. Hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Manipro.
Manipro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that Manipro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. Manipro, nurturing life.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, Manipro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all, from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try Manipro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com. Or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom-labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
looking for something? Find it online at BidBird Auctions. BidBird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made BidBird Auctions their new home. And get sold on BidBird. When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust. Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We do have a great show lined up for you today, but first it's time to introduce my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate and author, Pat Foreman.
December already, isn't this wonderful? How are you doing today?
I'm cold.
Yeah, I am too. I'm very cold. I had an electric blanket on last night. It was so cold. I'm traveling here in Indiana, and I can honestly say I miss my foot warmers, which is my dog and a cat. I have got these two specially trained fur family. They stay where they're put, like Bertha's Kitty Boutique, so I could tuck my feet under them, and they keep my feet warm. So I don't have them traveling here with me today. Boy, Lordy D, it's cold outside. Yeah. Hey, Whisper, I had an interesting experience last night. I was talking with quite a few residents here at the Friends Fellowship. It's the retirement center, and took a little census, and wouldn't you know that over half of them had poultry growing up. Over half of the residents here in this retirement center had poultry growing up, and most of them had really fond memories of them. And, of course, lots of stories about the ruse coming at them and doing the awful rue things. But they would definitely still have chickens if they could today. So I thought that was pretty cool. What do you think?
Well, of course they did. It was it's really probably like baseball, apple pie, you know, the whole nine yards. I think that was a part of growing up, I think, in America, no matter where you were, whether it was the city or the country, because we know, and everybody knows, I'd say everybody, most people should know, that it wasn't uncommon at all. Even if you lived in the big city, to keep backyard poultry, maybe even a few goats as well for goat's milk. And that's why we see across the country now that it looks like most of the major cities, the big capital towns, the big cities, still have it on the books that they're allowed, but all these tiny little towns that have popped up outside of the big metro area don't allow it, because it was something that's been allowed even in the big cities for the beginning of time, because it was a necessity, it was needed, and they understood that. And as these little towns cropped up, that really cropped up in the country, but they said, no, we want to be a town, but this is the area we want to have a town at, I don't think, and this is just my opinion, I don't think it was such a big negative thing about chickens. They were just thinking, okay, what makes this town? What, you know, we want to make this a city, and we want to, you know, they, I'm sure they all had good intentions, possibly, and so they were like, you know, well obviously in a town where, you know, we're not, we'll just say, to make it a town, no cows, no livestock, no, so, and that's just from what I've seen doing all my research across the country, is that all these major cities still allow it. Because it's always been allowed, but these newly popped up little cities out in the suburbs that wanted to differentiate themselves from a rural area and wanted to become a city, and so they just started saying, okay, what in our minds dictate a city? What would make us different from where we're at right now if we want to be called a city? And that was some things that just they immediately put on the books that weren't allowed. So it was pretty interesting how all of that works. So it's just a normal thing to have and do. My mom she couldn't have any type of regular milk when she was a baby. So even in town, my grandparents had a goat specifically for her. And you know what? Oh my gosh! Stop the presses! She drank raw goat milk. Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! So
good for her.
I mean, give me a break. So it was. I think it was just the norm back then. No one even thought twice about it. And based on having roosters back then, even though back in the 30s and 20s, a lot of these big major hatcheries who are around today got started by grandpa and great-grandpa back in the 30s. The reason why they had roosters, I'm positive of it back then, was reproduction. So they could continue their stock and continue their food supply by having baby chicks. You couldn't just probably, back in 1920, 1930, just get online and order, you know, 25 or 50 chicks from McMurray Hatchery.
That's right.
You know, if you lived across the country. So I can understand back then the rooster being a part of continuing their food supply by, you know, hatching out the eggs and whatnot. But it wasn't just, oh, I'm going to call McMurray today and order another 25 hens that we can eat or so we can have more eggs because these are starting to get spent. And, you know, so that was the reason why we had roosters, you know, back then. And in most urban areas, the soccer moms today, the urban folks that are having chickens, as you know, there's no really need to have a rooster if you don't want baby chicks running around. Yes, people make the argument about protection. If you do your job as a backyard poultry keeper, a responsible backyard poultry keeper, you do what you already need to do to keep those backyard chickens safe. You have the poultry netting, you have bury the fencing, you have a secure coop that you can lock up at night, you have the automatic door. So you don't necessarily need that rooster for protection like maybe back when. Or if you have a whole bunch of possibly free-range birds. We've had roosters here in the past in our urban area, whether we saved them or did a rescue or whatnot. And the one time we were actually renovating our backyard and doing the backyard setup, we did lose the one rooster that we were planning on keeping here, even in the urban area, and Kentucky. And we came back home from church one day, and there were feathers everywhere, and there he was out in the run, dead as a doornail. And all 12 hens were inside the coop, protected. He did his job. He got his coops inside, his hens inside the coop, protected them, went back outside to take on Mr. Bad Hawk, and lost the battle. So I get the protection issue, but again, we were renovating. We didn't have the poultry netting up top. And yeah, okay, so they protected the hens, but he did. Now I got to find another rooster to begin with. I still want one. So, you know, he didn't do such a great job defending himself, but the point was he did defend and get all the 12 hens by signaling them, telling them, hey, get in the coop, protect yourselves, and then I'll – and he was only like – wow, he was barely crowing. He was probably under 16 weeks old, between 14 and 16 weeks, and he knew what to do automatically. So it was great.
Oh, for heaven's
sake. I get the protection thing, but it's just in urban areas, unless you want baby chicks, if you do what you're supposed to do, like we teach you here on the show, as far as protection as a responsible backyard poultry owner, you're not going to need that rooster to bother your neighbors at 4:30 in the morning when they start crowing, or if they're crowing all day. And so that's why we have that's why we can complain about dogs, because we don't have roosters. So they bark all day and bark all night. So because our hens are up sleeping. So absolutely, I completely agree and understand and why the majority of them did have poultry back then. It was a necessity, and we're coming back to that kind of like a necessity now, based on the food movement and knowing where your food comes from and all the benefits that come with the backyard poultry. So absolutely, I completely agree with that. So to our listeners, we got a great show lined up for you today. Thank you very much for tuning in. Let me get over here to the chat room and see what all kinds of things are going in there. Full, as always. Thank you very much. what kind of roosters do you want? And, oh, I don't want any roosters now. But we had, ISA Brown, ISA Brown rooster, Kentucky. We were going to keep him. And he was a great guy. He really was. I was very proud of him for doing the job that he did. So, and, I'd much rather wake up to a rooster crowing, probably not at 4:30 in the morning, but then that electronic buzz that goes off next to my ear, it'd just be more pleasant for me to wake up to that. But great show lined up for you today. We have, of course, our the first and third Thursdays of every month, the one, the only, Dr. Bridget McGray. And today we're talking about breeding pens. We've got that coming up for you. And in a few moments, we're going to welcome Matthew from McMurrayHatchery.com. He's going to come on and tell us all about the latest news about the photo contest that they're doing at their blog over at, I believe it's blog.McMurrayHatchery.com. And tell us the updates about that. And they have provided us, again, as every Thursday, sponsored by McMurray Hatchery, an awesome, awesome prize today for our chicken trivia contest, the McMurray Hatchery, the 2006 cover, Morning Strut Print. And it's a value of $40 plus shipping, and it's a limited edition numbered print that you will get. We posted on our Facebook page this morning so you can see what you may be playing for. It is awesome. And so we thank them for that. We'll get to chicken trivia a little later in the broadcast. And then, of course, have a little bit of chickens in the news we'll get to after we talk to Matthew so he can get on with his day. And then don't let me forget, but before we get to Bridget McRae, Dr. McRae, we're going to I'll give you all of the details about the chicken coop contest that we have now, where you can nominate a local public or private school. I say local. I could nominate one living in Georgia out in California. But nominate a public or a private school. No homeschoolers. We love you, homeschoolers, and we thank you for listening to the show, and we support, and Jen's probably going to homeschool, but the issue there is, that would be like just giving it away to, anybody and everybody can enter, and, a family of three people. We want to, teach the masses here and folks that may not already have chickens, like the kids that go to these schools that have never seen a brown egg, think they come in a styrofoam package from Publix, and Publix gets them from a truck, so we want to try to educate them as well, so we'll get to the details about the coop contest here in a little bit. Right now, due to time, I don't want to keep him holding too much longer because I know he's a busy gentleman, and we're going to go to Matthew right now with McMurrayHatchery.com to tell us all about the updates on the photo contest, and we might even, as always, because I'm just a character, talk about the chick selector and how that's going. Very cool there, and in fact, I'm going to tell Matthew that lots of people have followed in their footsteps and regarding that, and he probably knows that, but Matthew, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Andy.
Hope you had a great holiday season.
Excuse me?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I hope you had a great holiday, and Pat said welcome to the show as well.
Yes, it was a great, good holiday. Thank you, Pat. We've got, this week, we now have a winner for the last category of the chicken photo contest, the best breed photo, and Tracy Anderson won that with a beautiful picture of a golden-laced Wyandotte.
Oh, yeah!
Is that the one you voted for, Pat? So you can read all about it on our blog. It tells a little bit of the story behind it, and then also the second and third place winners. So they're all three very beautiful chicken photos.
Yep. And, of course, I apologize, but if you did not win...
La, 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 la.
Oh, dear.
Not everybody gets a trophy at McMurray Hatchery. Oh, Lordy, Pat, I love you. So we've got the awesome. So congratulations to the winners of the photo contest. Very, very cool. And what else is going on?
I think that's about all I've got for today.
When can we start, unless I missed it last time you were on, when can we start placing our orders for spring at McMurray Hatchery?
Oh, okay. You can start ordering now for spring. In fact, I looked yesterday, and one of the breeds, I think Red Stars, was already sold out for the first hatch at the end of January. So,
wow.
Yeah, you can start ordering now. New catalogs will be shipped out probably the week after Christmas. So, but yeah, all our availability is all updated on the website. You can order chickens, ducks, turkeys, some juvenile birds. Pretty much everything's there now.
Very good. And I've been telling people, there's a perfect example, like we've talked about, Pat, is that, you know, order now, especially if you want the rarer breeds. I mean, here's Matthew telling us that something Red Stars are already sold out for the first hatch. I mean, these are Red Stars. It's not like the, you know, not like some super, super rare breed. I mean, we're kind of like a production red here, Red Stars. So, I mean, and already sold out for the first hatch, and we're, it's not even, you know, first of the year yet. Here we are in very the beginning of December, and they've already sold out for that. So I'm telling you, folks, if you're planning on anything for this spring, order them now. It's not an advertising ploy. It's not some marketing ploy that these hatcheries are doing that I'm doing. I don't get a dime for telling you to order now. It's that we saw it 2 years ago where a specific hatchery, I specifically talked to them. They said, we even told all of our feed and seeds folks that order birds from us, feed and seeds all over the country, that, you know, you need to order now. And they thought, oh, just whatever, for 40 years I've ordered and everything will be fine. I'll order it, you know, the week before Easter. And then they when they called the order back in the spring, they were like, hey, sorry, sucks for you. I mean, we told you back in November to order now if you wanted anything for this spring because it was going to be busy and we're going to be 6, 8, 10 weeks behind, but you didn't listen to us. And so they got burned in the bum because they didn't listen to them. And it's not this advertising ploy, folks. It's not this marketing scheme. It's order now or you're not going to have anything. Or you won't get the birds that you want. You won't get the choices, especially if you want more rare breeds. But now we're seeing even Red Stars are sold out for the first hatch at McMurray Hatchery. So it's one of those things that people think, oh, no, I'll wait. I'm a procrastinator. And, oh, there'll be plenty because they hatch, you know, 2 million, 6 million, 8 million, 10 billion chicks a year. They'll have plenty, no problems. And then you go to order, and you're like, well, doggone, I should have ordered back then. So word to the wise, folks, if you're looking for anything specific this spring or even if you want some, as we just heard, some good old backyard birds, good old egg layers, then you can place your order now if you know what you need. Then you can specify which week you want them versus waiting, and maybe you can get them, but maybe they're, you know, 4 weeks after that you really want them. So keep that in mind as well. And Matthew, I'm sure that your head's not in the sand. You know that I know of at least two other applications, if you will, that are out there now, kind of like yours, which I believe yours was the first. I think I probably would have heard about one before yours, but the Chick Selector app that I guess you can get at iTunes from McMurray Hatchery, and that you did several months ago. We talked about it on the radio show. And then I know of at least two other apps that have come out recently as well, kind of doing the same thing. So how does that make y'all feel that y'all kind of set the precedence for that?
Oh, I don't know.
You laugh. I think it's cool, man. And then, like, I give you a hard time about Chick Selector, and I can just hear the infomercial now. Not finding what you're looking for, you know, that type of thing. And but there have been two others that have come out here recently, and we've Facebooked those as well. So we're not playing favorites. But as far as I know, y'all were the first ones to have that out, and so that's very cool. Hopefully it's going well for you. And then, of course, the next question is, of course, from Pat, when will it be on the website? Which, you know, you already got tons of information in your catalog. That's the original Chick Selector is the McMurray Hatchery catalog. You just that you get in the mail.
Order, it's beautiful.
From them. That's the original Chick Selector right there, because you can flip through and see all the information.
That's right.
And it's the original Chick Selector. Is the catalog. So now we've gone all high tech, and you can do that on your iPhone. I don't think it's available for BlackBerry or Droid, because a lot of people say, "Well, I need it for my Droid. I need it for my BlackBerry. I need it for my Texas Instruments TRS-80. I need it for my Commodore 64." And so you just have to. Do you remember that Commodore 64?
Yes.
Anyway, so.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Radio Shack had their own brand, the TRS-80, that was, oh, my goodness gracious. We call it the Trash 80. We had one, so I can say that. Instead of TRS-80 from Radio Shack, it was the Trash 80, TRS standing for trash. So I can remember that way, way back when. Well, Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. Of course, we all know it's McMurrayHatchery.com, but if you'll give us the blog address again so we can get, because I know y'all have special guests and blogists. Is that a word? Let's invent that word, Pat. You have many different blogists that come on and write for you guys, and which is all cool stories. Is it blog at McMurrayHatchery.com?
It's just blog.mcmurrayhatchery.com.
Gotcha. Blog. Okay, very cool. Slyfox54.
I'll post it in the chat room here for us, Matthew.
Thank you.
Sure, thank you,
and
Pat.
If you'll explain to Slyfox54, he's probably a young whippersnapper. He's like, what's a Commodore 64? What's a Commodore 64? Slyfox, that was a Commodore 64 was the very first spaceship that ever actually got. No, I'm just kidding. It's like one of the very first kind of home computers that you could purchase, and you could probably do long math, long division, a lot faster than that could. with the processor added and what you could do. So I think on Commodore 64, the only game you could play probably was Oregon Trail. Y'all remember that? You remember that, Matthew?
Oregon.
That old Oregon Trail game that was...
I remember Oregon Trail. I played Oregon Trail.
For my time.
Man, that thing was that was oh my goodness! And if you didn't do things right, yeah, Dr. McCray was like, I always died of dysentery. A lot of people, you know, hey, I'm 41 and I remember this. I know some people older than me, some people younger than me remember that. But that old Oregon Trail, oh, it was so funny. And you always try to plan, okay, I'm not going to leave right before winter because we'll all freeze to death. But if I leave too late, and then you try to forge the river and you all drowned. And, oh, my goodness gracious.
Hey, Whisper, what have you had this morning? What have you been doing? Did you have a cup of coffee, too?
I forgot it. That was yesterday was your coffee day, Pat. Now, I don't know what it is. I'm telling you.
And I missed it because I'm traveling, but what are you buzzed on? I'll take what you've got.
I'm in a great mood today. I don't know what it is. I'm just excited. We got Dr. McCray on, McMurray Hatcher is on.
It's
and,
the holidays.
It must be the holiday. I'm just in a, like I said, it's good to be alive. I woke up and didn't see dirt, so hallelujah. Speaking of hallelujah, there's a viral video going around. Pat, Matthew, you may have seen it. I posted it on my personal page, didn't post it on my professional page, but it's so cool. It's in a mall. It's in a food court at the mall, and everybody's just kind of hanging around eating their Euro wrap and their fries and whatever they're eating. And then an organist, you know, they're playing some Christmas music in the background, and the organist just kind of starts the first few bars of the Hallelujah Chorus. And people are just sitting there going, okay, more holiday music, not a big deal, biting down on their Euro wraps and their ham sandwiches. And the next thing you know, this lady stands up in her chair with a cell phone and starts belting out the first chords of Hallelujah Chorus. And then the next bars, this man stands up in his chair. They had brought in this photography place that's in the mall, had brought in, unsuspectingly, the mall may have known, but this huge choir. And so here you are, not knowing nothing, just sitting there right before Thanksgiving, eating your Euro wrap, and next thing you know, there's 40 people that stand up at different times throughout this Hallelujah Chorus, and start singing, and it is beautiful, the echo of the mall and the sound, and everybody's kind of at first looking around, especially when this one lone lady stands in her chair, and she has her cell phone up to her ear, I guess, so her family can hear, and she just starts singing, you know, Hallelujah Chorus, and then the guys come in, and I mean the entire length of the song. And if you Facebook that, I think it's like the Hallelujah Chorus Mall Surprise. You'll see it, and it's amazing. I, at first, people were sitting there going, "What in the world? What is she eating? I'll have what she's having too." Like you, Pat. But then everybody else had joined in, and then everybody was pulling out their iPhones and their Blackberries and all their video cameras, getting video of this thing, and it was really cool. Speaking of Hallelujah, very very neat YouTube. So, all right, Matthew. Well, I've taken enough of your time. Thank you very much for joining us today. Thank you very much for this awesome, awesome print, limited edition, 1 of 500, valued at $40 plus shipping, and that'll be given out to one lucky winner of our chicken trivia today. In fact, let me get over here to the chat room and see what's going on. Yeah, I don't see Love for Poultry in there, so what we may do is, Pat, we may, over the next hour, maybe we can have you come up with today's chicken trivia question, because I know you're got loads of those. So, and again, it's a $40 value. It's a limited edition print, so it can't be too easy. And you may want to collaborate a little bit with Dr. McCray in the chat room via instant message to try to come up with a cool question for today, because
that's a good idea.
This is an awesome prize. This is is an awesome prize. So very, very cool. Well, Matthew, thank you very much for joining us today, folks. You need to go ahead and place your orders. If it, the largest rare breed hatchery in America, McMurray Hatchery. And so if you're looking for those rare breeds, order them now. They're already out of Red Stars, for Pete's sake. So what, how do you think all the other rare breeds are going to be selling once people figure out they can go ahead and order for spring? So, Matthew, thank you very much for joining us today. We'll see you, yes, a couple of weeks will be the 16th. We'll still be on the air. It won't be that too close to our holiday weeks. So we'll see you back here on the 16th, and let us know if we can do anything for you over there at McMurray.
All right. Well, thank you, Andy and Pat.
Thank you, Matthew. Thank you for coming on. All right.
Yeah, Matt was just like, oh, my gosh, what did Andy have for breakfast today?
Yeah.
It must be.
They said, here, do you want to get you on the video? And then Stillfox said, no, you're way too excited today. You're probably still in your pajamas.
Well, that's probably it. Yeah, I'd really, you know, I kind of am still kind of in my, I got my, even though I've already fed the goats and the chickens and all that kind of stuff, I'm basically flip-flops, T-shirts, and T-shirt. Actually, I have my Hee-Haw T-shirt on, picking and a-grinning. My Hee-Haw T-shirt, picking and a-grinning. Sly Fox may not remember Hee-Haw either if he doesn't remember Commodore 64, but got my Hee-Haw shirt on and some shorts, and I'm going to be, after the show, working on my book a little bit. I'm working on the laws chapter, and that's got me all excited and fired up, so no problem. All righty, let's go to Chickens in the News segment. Chickens in the News is, of course, brought to us by Meyer Hatchery up in Polk, Ohio, and we were up there broadcasting live, met all those good folks up there, and they also have – okay, where'd my mouse go? They also have started early ordering. In fact, let me get over here to my email. In fact, I'll share this with you. Meyer Hatchery right now, if you're looking for some kind of great Christmas gift for the chicken or poultry lover, they have 20% off their entire stock of books, posters, and DVDs. That looks like it's this week, December the 2nd through the 8th. December 2nd through the 8th. So for about a week at MeyerHatchery.com, they have 20% off their entire stock of books, posters, and DVDs. And, you know, whether it be Raising Chickens for Dummies, my friend Rob Ludlow's book out, you know, BackyardChickens.com, or Extraordinary Chickens, that book, awesome ones. I believe I saw your books there, Pat, at when we were in their retail store out there. So 20% off their entire stock of books, posters, and DVDs at MeyerHatchery.com just for a week. So I wanted to share that with you because I saw that come over the wire this morning. If you're on their email list, you probably received that as well. Okay, Chickens in the News. Most of these are always posted at our – most of these are always posted. Okay, that makes sense. At our Facebook page, just go to facebook.com/ The Chicken Whisperer. And let me get down here to Chickens in the News because we have one specifically I'm going to share with you here. Somebody put, Terry Scott put on here, Pat, you're going to love this. She put, I just watched on Netflix The Natural History of the Chicken. And it was very interesting. It was very interesting. And I said, yeah, how did you like that lady that takes her chicken swimming in the pool with her? So
that was a funny one. Yeah. Have you ever been swimming with any of your chickens?
No, absolutely not. I have not. No.
I haven't either. I must admit, I haven't either. No.
Not going to go into this, but, well, I guess this could be a part of Chickens in the News, since we talked about it a lot yesterday and the day before. I posted, because I posted information about this this food bill, the S510, the S510 food bill, and so I'm going to give you a real brief update about this first, because I put things on our Facebook page about from Natural News. Some people love them, some people hate them, but Natural News, I put the information there. And then I put an article written in the New York Times by Michael Pollan and the gentleman who did Fast Food Nation and how they were for it. National Foods was against it, and Michael Pollan and his crowd were kind of against it. Food Inc. apparently was against it. And then I posted this interview with Joel Salatin. Is that how you pronounce his name? Salatin, S-A-L-A-T-I-N. I never can pronounce his last
Joel
name.
Joel Salatin.
Salatin,
uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, and so he was in Food Inc., and he is adamantly against it. So also, in a very, very good interview, the questions, you know, are in bold. His answers are not in bold, so it's a very easy and good interview to read. And I posted that yesterday on our Facebook page. He's adamantly against it. Some of the things in bold that he puts, he said, amazingly, we've become a culture that considers Twinkies, Cocoa Puffs, and Mountain Dew safe, but raw milk and compost-grown tomatoes unsafe. So how about that for a quote for you?
Yeah,
we talk about
that's a good one.
Every time the government gets involved with these things, rather than being voluntary, they move into the realm of force, and that completely changes the dynamics. That was a comment that he had made. He said, let's see what we else here. This is very interesting. When Monsanto purposely used geriatric rats in their GMO feeding trials for the FDA, are cleverly falsified data to receive RBGH approval, and infected and afflicted hundreds of thousands of dairy cows with mastitis, and then used crooked judges to agree that placing RBGH free on milk labels on milk actually harmed consumers. That bespeaks an evil, deceptive company and agenda. So these are all quotes from this gentleman. So definitely I posted that. You can take a look at our Facebook page.com. And then the latest news about Senate Bill 510 that we also posted yesterday, which really surprised a lot of people. And let me get over there and see if I can let me see if I posted this on my Facebook page. Maybe I didn't post it on this one. I thought I did. Apparently, it's going to get booted this year. Apparently, it's going to get booted because of something that was actually in the bill that shouldn't have been in the bill about the Senate passing ability to tax and fee. But they're not allowed to do that. Only the Congress can do that. Let me go ahead and I want to read this to you because it's very important, and I want to keep you up to date on what's going on because a lot of our listeners were for it, a lot of our listeners were against it. So I've posted interviews and articles for it and against it to be fair and balanced because chickens have both a left wing and a right wing. So we want to do that. So let me find this story for you. I think it's very important for me to share with you. My goodness, I don't even know if I see it. Anyway, I'll just go ahead. I'll see if I can post something later. I thought that here we go. Okay, this came out to us out of Atlanta, actually, and this is a short one, so I'll read this to you. Very important. Jamie Dupree, food safety trouble. I told about this yesterday, I think. Section 107, authority to collect fees, yeah, and revenue. So I haven't heard any official response from Senate, from the government, the powers that be. I haven't heard or read anything that states officially what's going to happen, if it's going to get thrown out, if they're going to have to wait till next year, if they're going to use some whiteout and then push it through the House. I have no idea. But we did mention that yesterday, and so we'll keep you abreast of that situation, of course. And there's one more I want to share with everybody here because I want to keep you up to date. About a week ago, I don't know if it was – it may have been earlier this week – where I explained to you about, it was about an elementary school. I posted it on Facebook, an elementary school where the chickens were, any day now, okay, here we go. Let's see what we get here. Let me find it. I can't see stuff that I'm looking for. Or maybe if I put my glasses on. Here it is. Okay. Earlier in the week, I shared with you about the break-in at an elementary school where the chickens were killed. We've had many stories about this as well. And earlier in the week on our Facebook page, we read you the story about the the chickens that elementary school, someone had broke in and actually had killed, I think it was at least two chickens there. And so, and we were talking about that, I think, on the radio show. We talked about it on our Facebook page. We got tons of responses on our Facebook page about it whenever we post things like that. And just yesterday it came out, no surprise here, teens arrested in elementary school pet chickens slayings. Teens arrested in elementary school pet chickens slayings. Concord, California. Three teenage boys were arrested Wednesday on suspicion of strangling two chickens at a Concord elementary school last week, authorities said. The dead chickens were found by a custodian the morning of November 24th at El Monte Elementary School at 1400 Dinah Drive, Concord, Police Lieutenant David Hughes said. Police officers arrived at the school and found the door to a chicken coop on campus had been pried open and the two chickens had been strangled. The four other chickens were unharmed and running loose in the school, he said. On Tuesday, a Concord Police School resource officer learned information that pointed to three teenage boys, ready for this, a 14-year-old and two 15-year-olds as suspects in the crime. He did not know whether the boys had gone to El Monte before graduating the middle or high school. The boys were arrested on suspicion of animal cruelty and burglary this morning at home and at their schools and were later released into the custody of their parents. Gosh, they must be so proud. They are not being identified because they are minors, he said. Anyone with additional information can contact Officer Renee Stevenson at Concord Police School Resource Officer. Yes, definitely in the lots of great comments in the chat room. And so, I wonder if these were timeout kids or if they actually got the belt. I wonder if these were timeout kids. Now, but on a serious note, the issue is, I mean, this is of course horrible, as everybody's saying here, and they'll probably get, you know, like some of these other stories we brought to you, just like this, a slap on the wrist, and then they'll go home and they'll, you know, mom and dad will say, no Nintendo for a week. You know, give me a break. So now what it didn't say in the story, but is in the video, that these kids, and it was explained in the video, if you want to go to our Facebook page and look at the video, they had to climb over two fences. This wasn't just, you know, this had to be kind of premeditated because they climbed over two fences, went directly to the chicken pen, broke into the chicken coop, and then, ready for this? This wasn't in the article, but it is in the video. They hung the chickens with their shoestrings, okay, up from the top of the chicken coop. Yeah. So you know, this 14-year-old and two 15-year-olds, that how are they out in the middle of the night doing this? Where's mom and dad? Hello, great parenting. Okay, out in the middle of the night, they go over here and they take their shoestrings and hang, which then, of course, strangled, hang these chickens from the top of the chicken coop. So it's absolutely, absolutely amazing. So, congratulations, Mom and Dad, doing a hell of a job. So I wanted to bring that to you. You can see that at facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. Pat, isn't that tragic?
Well, it is so tragic. And you know, we've had other examples like this throughout the year, sadly so. But I think because it is so awful, it'll let us know what's good, meaning that this is not acceptable behavior in any situation. The chickens need to be respected, and certainly, you know, just to do that at night with some pet chickens, I don't know. It's just a sad thing that we have such little respect for life. But maybe this will help us all respect it more. I don't know what else to say except my condolences to the parents and to the chickens, and certainly hope that we can use that as an example of what not to do. So,
yeah, some of the comments in the chat room for the folks that can't get in the chat room talks about a bunch of sadistic, disturbed, let me scroll back up, individuals. I'll whoop their butts for them. And then we've got, I can't even repeat that one, Walter, not on the air. And then we've got, give me a few minutes alone in a room with them. Maybe the animal rights groups will go after them the same way they do other instances. They didn't know what they did was really bad. All these great comments. Let's see what else we got here. They may have been abused when they were younger. Let's see. Maybe they can actually get their punishment, they have to clean the coop every day after school to do that. I don't know if you want to put them back in the same situation, though, with the chickens they just hung. I understand kind of that theory there. I doubt anything will happen to them. They think they should get community service, pay to replace the chickens at $1,000 a piece. And then take care of the chickens for the rest of the school year. Let's see what else we got. So perfect. Good deal. And then, of course, Terry Nick in the chat room, the actions of teenagers are not necessarily the reflection on parenting skills.
Not always, but the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
And my wife, being a teacher, I love the one that says, "You learn so much more about the Jell-O when you meet the mold." You learn so much more about the Jell-O. Yes, you learn so much more about the Jell-O when you meet the mold. So, yes, I absolutely.
That's funny.
Oh, my goodness.
That's very funny.
Yep.
Well, I think a good sentence for them, Whisper, would be to have them take care of the chickens. I mean, to let them know that these are sentient and wonderfully, wonderfully charming creatures, and to just have to spend quality time, and then write an essay about it. What did you see in the chicken that not only you see in yourself, but in all of nature? So I would like to see more of a sensitivity, perhaps, session rather than whatever. I don't know. It's sad.
Exactly. It is. Yeah. It is. I wanted to share that with everybody today, follow up from the story we brought you earlier in the week regarding that. All righty, we're going to take a the chicken coop contest. I want to share with this. There's so many things we wanted to talk about. The chicken coop contest that we're having right now. And it's basically, we think it's a great contest. We think it may be a first of its kind. And what we want people to do is you can nominate the school of your choice, either a public school or a private school. And the way you nominate them is you're going to send us an email. And the email, of course, address is contest@chickenwhisperer.net. Okay, so that's contest@chickenwhisperer.net. And what you need to email to us is the school name, the school address, the school phone number, the principal's name, okay, and then a little paragraph of why you think they are deserving of this, not only this brand new chicken coop from mypetchicken.com, but they're also getting a brand new Genesis incubator from GQF, and they're going to get one of Pat's autographed books, City mm-hmm. Chicks. So this is a great prize package for a school. But what you have to do in that paragraph, not only just describe why they deserve it, but we want this school to already be proving that they want to strive to have a more sustainable school. For example, do they already have a recycling program at the school? Do they already have raised beds or a garden out back? Do they use that in some of the school lunch program? Do they already have maybe an animal program? And things like that. So, local school. I said Jen's going to probably homeschool. We have a lot of homeschool that listen to the radio show. But obviously, if you nominated yourself, Kelly, I get it. I understand. But you can see kind of what we're doing here as far as the school and affecting maybe even hundreds of kids throughout the years versus just one kid in the household. So that's why we're kind of doing this. And all the other homeschoolers and households are eligible to win any other coop any other time. So it's about the impact. So that's what we want to do. So you can nominate the school. Again, send the school name, the school address, the school phone number, the principal's name. The chickens have to be legal there. Okay, so do your research, please, first, because we will check that. We want to make sure chickens, the school is allowed to have chickens, and the school actually wants this, and is accepting to this. But that information needs to be sent, emailed to us, but also you need to send us a few sentences, a paragraph of why you think this school deserves it. Do they already have a recycling program? Do they already have raised bed gardens? Do they already have, an animal program? Are they hatching out chicks every year but don't have a place for them and they give them away and things like that? Are they being self-sustaining, things like that. So that's what we're looking for. We're going to take all the entries. We're going to have a little panel of four or five folks to actually narrow it down and pick the winner and the winning school anywhere in the lower 48 states because of the shipping cost to Hawaii and Alaska and Canada and Europe. So anywhere in the lower 48 states, any school there is eligible for this contest. And that's a brand new chicken coop from mypetchicken.com, a brand new Genesis incubator from GQF Manufacturing, another great sponsor. And so the winner is chosen based on a panel of people. So we'll have like five people. We're going to look and read all of the entries and see which school best meets this qualification of already demonstrating a want and a need and striving to be, say, self-sustaining, if you want to use that word, with the recycling program and raised bed gardens? Are they using this in their education program in the school regarding that? So, So that's how it's going to end. There'll be a group of folks, probably me and Pat and some of our sponsors. We may have someone from the USDA to help be one of the chosen. So we're going to send everybody the entries. I can't imagine having a whole lot of entries. We might. How cool would that be? But let's say we have when we had the ugliest chicken coop contest, I think we had maybe 50 entries. So then we'll. We will maybe if we have a lot, then me and Pat will narrow it down, and then we'll have a total of 10, and then we'll take maybe 5, and then we'll have the panel of people vote on which ones they feel would best benefit from this incubator and the chicken coop based on strives that they've already done regarding raised bed gardens, recycling program, and things like that, healthy school lunches that they're trying to provide, different things like that. So, recycling, raised bed gardens, healthy lunches. They already have an animal program for education, things like, or maybe they're hatching chicks every year but don't have a coop, things like that we're looking for. So just nominate your favorite school or the school you'll think best deserves this at contest@chickenwhisperer.net. contest@chickenwhisperer.net. So that's a very, very cool contest. So that's going to run into the first of the year. So we may be, I don't have a final date. I will share that with you because we'll probably end up giving this away and choosing the winner maybe in February so they can go ahead and have time to hatch out and have these chickens for springtime and go ahead and get this plan going. So that's what we'll do. So how cool is that? Thanks to MyPetChicken.com and GQF Manufacturing. You can visit them online, GQFRadio.com, GQFRadio.com. So thank you very much. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Dr. McRae is going to be teaching us all about breeding pens, today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We'll be back right after this short break.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try MannaPro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try MannaPro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com. First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
Presenting the Clapper. Let your appliances turn on and off just by clapping.
Clap on, clap off, clap on, clap off.
The Clapper.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thanks for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Today is Thursday, December 2nd, the first Thursday of the month, which means it's another great episode of Poultry Today with Dr. McCrae. Dr. McCrae, welcome to the show.
Hey, everybody. I'm glad I could finally chime in. You've got lots to cover today.
Oh, there was a lot. I didn't know it was going to take that long. My goodness gracious, it was this, after that, after this, after this, after that. And I tried to talk as fast as I could.
And you're taking it quite the pace today. So, I mean, hey.
It's his flip-flops. He did his flip-flops.
Gotta keep moving.
Yeah, that's what it is. I have a question for you. Before we start the topic on breeding pens, this came to us from Sabine Smith-Stoll, who's on our Facebook page. And I thought this would be a perfect opportunity while we have you on, all your expertise. Who has ever heard of a rooster killing hens? We had 2 dead hens in the past 4 weeks, which looked like they had been hacked to death. This morning, I saw it with my own eyes. I was able to rescue the bird from him, and the rooster will be freezer camped. But what in the world is going on? And then I think there was a follow-up here that said, I have a huge run, and he did not eat them. He stood on her and crowed. I have also noticed the ones that he killed were the hens refusing to mate with him and were a bit on the small size. What's your take on that, Dr. McCrae?
Well, that's just normal social hierarchy for a chicken. And, of course, he's going to, since he cannot physically remove the hens from his harem, he's just going to remove them in other ways. Because they choose not to mate with him. And he's dominant, so he's exercising his right as the dominant male to eliminate those females that refuse his advances. And he can use his size and weight to his advantage in these instances.
Well,
excellent.
You know, Professor, in Temple Grandin's book, Animals Make Us Human, she talks about killer roosters and how there's a certain strain that somehow has come up where these roosters just turn into masochists, and how they're now trying to get that out of the breed. So maybe that's part of a breeding aberration. But
no,
she goes.
When you speak genetically, you can get any type of that sort of behavioral mutation. So it's not necessarily you bought from company A, B, or C, and that genetic line is always aggressive, aggressive, aggressive. It can pop up anyway.
No, they were saying just a few of them, but it was a trait that they had not really seen before. But anyway, she was saying that it's a way of inbreeding too much, and that by that way you got traits that were undesirable, such as these killer roosters. But they seem to be, they have a cruel streak to them. It's not just it's not just mating and sort of that dominance, that they're actually bloodthirsty. But anyway,
right. that,
it's in her
that
book.
Level
Animals
of aggression can stay with certain breeds more than others. See, when I was younger, I had Polish growing up, and Polish males are just grumpy buggers.
Are they?
It's like you better have tall boots on because they're going to come at you spurring every day. Because that's
grumpy
just their personality.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. And so if you select the right breed, that's what can come with the territory, and that's why you have to do your homework.
Huh. Sandy, do you know what breed they were?
They didn't say.
Well,
there you have it.
I wouldn't keep those roosters long. I know
no,
that.
Those roosters are gone. You don't want to breed those. Nope.
They're out. Nope.
They're out. Nope. They're gone. Bye. You're going to do that? You get to be dinner.
Yeah. They can still call them pit chickens, you know? So pit bulls
no,
are pit chickens.
No, the correct term is game chickens. They are pit game birds, so we call them game fowl.
Oh, dear.
Well, today's topic has to do with breeding pens, and some of you out there actually do breed your birds, and some of you may be showing your birds, and I know that some of your younger listeners are also show persons, and I wanted to pick a topic that was a little bit more along the lines of showing and breeding, and in case any of you were interested, it might be, well, it might be something that is in your future if you want to explore it further. One of the first things I'm going to talk about with breeding pens is where are you going to set up your breeding pens? It needs to be an area that's separate from your laying hens, separate from your show birds, because this time of year it's show season, and you should have your show birds in conditioning cages, separate from your breeding stock, so that they'll stay in really good condition. So you need to site your breeding pens in the yard, somewhere, of course, that you won't endure any sort of flooding or, excessive rain, anything that could cause the birds to become sick or for their pens to become mushy or wet. I have seen many, many, many different breeding pens out there. The best ones I've seen have a great overhang so that rainwater doesn't blow in and soil the get the litter all wet. I have seen really good breeding pens that have wire front doors, excellent ventilation. They'll even add windows on the sides for ventilation. As far as the width of your pens, it can vary. If you're working with bantams, you can work with pens that are slightly smaller. I like to suggest that for bantams, pens that are about 4 feet long, 4 feet wide is great. That's wide enough for you to get in there. Maybe have a wheelbarrow that you can pull right up to the front. Maybe not pull in, but pull right up to the front. And, good for clean out, too. For bantams, you can probably fit about 5 or 6 birds in there. Having a good ratio is key. If your males are large fowl, you can pretty much count on the rule of 1 male to every 10 to 12 females. You can do fewer females if you choose, if you don't have that many females. If you have bantams, you can use the same ratio or slightly fewer, again, if you don't have enough females. If you have large fowl, I suggest pens that are about 5 feet wide. Again, large fowl need a little bit more space. And if you have some special feature to your birds, like crests or extra long tails, then your pens are going to be a little bit more modified to accommodate these special features. Say if you have kubelayas. Large fowl kubelayas have not super long tails, but again, they're long. And you should have pens that accommodate those long feathers so they aren't breaking them off constantly. I've seen pens that are 10 feet long, pens that are 4 feet long, 7 feet long. So as long as you want to make, or as long or deep as you want to make those pens, that's fine. I've seen some people stack two pens on top of the other. with the first pen being up at around 3 or 4 feet high for large fowl. And then the second pen is on top. It's always hard, though, to clean that top pen because you're always raking shavings towards your face. And getting shavings or dust in your eye just isn't fun. So I always had pens that were tall enough for me to walk into rather than double stacking them. So when you're designing your pens, keep the width in mind. For a pen that's, say, 7 feet deep and 5 foot wide for a large fowl, I would feel comfortable keeping one male in there plus two or three females. If you had a slightly smaller large fowl breed, like, say, Fiumes or a Mediterranean breed, then you could consider putting in, you know, an extra female or two. Bantams, a 7 foot deep and 4 foot wide pen, you can have one male and maybe three or four females comfortably. You don't want to overfill your breeding pens because your egg production will go down, the birds won't be comfortable, and possibly also fertility and hatchability could suffer. One of the things you can also add is roosts that are up high for exercise. Yes, these pens are small, but they're only in there for a few months out of the year, but they still need to exercise, so putting a roost up high, maybe 4 to 5 or maybe even 6 feet off the ground, is not a problem. Put in nest boxes. You don't want to start training your chickens to lay on the floor. So give your hens nest boxes in each and every one of your pens. And that'll make it easier for egg collection. And I think you'll be overall much happier, depending on how you design it. Sometimes you don't even have to go into the pen to collect the eggs. You can just reach through the wall if you build them into the side of your pen. So one of the other things some people do is they will use these pens as breeding pens during certain times of the year and brooding pens during other times of the year. Since you're only doing this in, say, fall, winter, early spring for your hatching purposes, those pens are going to be empty for the rest of the year. And what you might do is use them for when you're separating out the younger birds that you've hatched and maybe see if they're worth keeping or worth culling. So the pens can kind of pull double duty as kind of a brooding and selection pen until you get towards the fall. And then you've got your culls and you've got your keepers, your keeper birds. You'll send on over to the conditioning pen, and your culls you'll take to the auction or sell at a show, however you see fit. Another thing that I've seen folks do occasionally for some of the summer fairs, they'll use their breeding pens as also conditioning pens. And so one of the things for the side wire in between each of the pens inside your house, you can use aviary netting instead of chicken wire. Chicken wire is very rough on feathers. And about the first foot to maybe 2 feet, if you have a large fowl, should be plywood. And then attached to that, you should have aviary netting. And it's very gentle on the feathers, which you don't want to destroy as you get closer to show season. It's nothing more frustrating than bird A, B, or C has now destroyed its main sickle feathers, and darn it, that's not what you wanted them to do because they were the best one. It's always the best one that does it, undoubtedly. And then consider very aggressive males. If you're setting up breeding pens when they're right next to each other, somebody out there might have one of those breeds that has very aggressive males. And I've had pens where the males will try to fight through the fence all day long. So what we had to do is not only was the bottom 2 feet a barrier to keep shavings in, it also cut down on the amount of fighting, but it didn't help up at the level of the perches. Because as they got up there to perch at night, they'd start fussing with each other. So So we had to put up corrugated plastic around the perches between the pens. And corrugated plastic is just kind of a clear, convoluted, plasticky material. You know that plastic that you see on the signs that end up in people's yards during election season? That's corrugated plastic. That's, or sometimes it's called Corplast. Corrplast. Cheap, easy to clean later on, and you can just attach them to your roost poles by zip ties. So they're very easy to work with. As far as the roof, if you're going to do a lot of pens, one of the best designs I ever saw was by a friend of mine. She has a website called Random Rose Combs. And she used a clear corrugated plastic roofing because the light just filters right through, even when the doors are shut. The only problem is you can see every leaf that drops down onto it, so she does have to hose it off every couple of months, or actually, I'm not sure that tree is still there in her yard, but she does have to just kind of hose it off so that the light can continue to filter through. Towards the top of each pen, you can put windows, and so the birds can hop, it's more incentive for them to hop up onto the roost or the perching pole and look out the window and see what's going on. If you want to, you can add pens or outdoor runs, but keep in mind that's where more fence fighting can occur for chickens if you don't put the Corplast up. But Corplast can come in big sheets that are about 10 feet long if you want it, 8 to 10 feet long, and you can cut, you know, a 4 by 10 sheet, you know, in half, and that'll take care of a couple of pens. So that would help. And since it's plastic, it's easy to disinfect over wood. Selecting your birds for use in your show pens is a personal decision. And so you should take a look at how your birds performed in the show season last year. Now, a lot of people, I see they leave behind the coop cards at the show. You should always take your coop cards with you. So why on earth would you do that? You use them for your show records. So that, you know, honestly, when you're putting together your breeding pens this time of year and the last show you went to was in April or May, are you really going to remember how bird A performed for the entire show season last year? If you can, you are a far better person than I. So, I can't remember that kind of stuff. So what you do is you take your show, your coop cards with you. The coop cards have how you did and the name of the show right on there. And one thing you should add to your coop card is who your judge was. So definitely while you're at the show, ask who the judge is. And so you need to write that down on every coop card, the judge's name. And each bird gets its own file. And when you, yeah, I see Kelly from Georgia, she has a scrapbook. She always takes her coop tags. And she also keeps the show catalog, which is pretty good. So what you can do is every bird has its own file for that show season. And at the end of the year, when you're trying to decide what males should be put with what females, you can go back through that and say, you know, he did really good no matter who the judge was. And every judge seemed to like my female except for her head. It was too long. He's got a very short, nice, typey head. Let's breed the two of those together and see if that works.
Yeah, you like to be careful word? With those females. Females with the big head, you got to be careful with them.
So that's one of the methods that you can use to help keep organized. Yeah, just don't forget to put down the judges' names on there. It really does help in the long run. So I did actually look this up a little earlier today, and I came across a really interesting, exciting in my book because, you know, I've had to create breeding pens, but I came across a computer software program called for poultry. It's called ZooEasy.com. And I'm going to type that into the chat room, but I'll spell it out for you. It's www.zooeasy.com. And what they do is they have all kinds of breeding programs for different species, but there is a poultry one. And if you take a look at it, you can put down all kinds of details about these birds and keep a really detailed history of, you know, what your birds have done, what breedings produce the best birds, and, you know, keep yourself a little bit more organized. Now, here's the slightly hard part. You need to mark your eggs based upon what pen they came out of. And when you put those eggs into the incubator, they need to be marked in, say, pencil, so that you can keep them organized. And when it comes time to move them to the hatcher, you need to have separate hatching baskets for each set of eggs. Because as soon as they start hatching out, those chicks are going to run around and get themselves all mixed up, right? So separate hatching baskets is probably the most difficult part. And you just take a little bit of quarter inch, some people call it rat wire or hardware cloth, it's what I call it, and make little baskets out of it with lids, because chicks will hop out of hatching baskets that don't have lids and get them mixed up that way. And you just use a little piece of masking tape on there that says what pen it came out of. After that, when your chicks hatch out, you can put colored bandettes on the chicks' legs to keep them organized as they start to grow up. You'll have to replace the bandettes with larger size bandettes as they get a little older. And bandettes are different from leg bands. Bandettes are just colored little spirals that you place on the legs, but leg bands actually have numbers on them. So once they get a little bit older and you've decided you're going to get rid of this set, but you're going to keep this set, you can use colored leg bands with numbers to keep these birds organized from there on out. Or you can stick with colored spirals or bandettes if that's the way you'd rather do things. So plan ahead. Have bandettes ready for the day of hatch out. Have it planned out which pen's going to be what colors. You could have two bandettes, the color of the mother and the color of the father, on each chick, or the mother could be one leg color and the father could be another bandette on another leg, however you want to organize it. Another option that some people use is a toe punch. Once the birds get a little older, you can punch holes in the webbing between the toes to keep the birds organized. And as long as the birds don't damage themselves later on, you should be able to tell which bird came from which breeding line. Bandettes are very affordable. They are just a matter of $4 or $5 for anywhere from 25 to 50 bandettes, which is usually plenty. And if you switch out of the bandettes every year, you just need to disinfect them and store them on a piece of wire for the next hatching season. And lastly, breeding. There are lots of different breeding organizational systems you can use to keep your flock happy, healthy, and producing in the manner that you prefer. One of these methods is line breeding. Line breeding is when you take closely related birds and you keep breeding them back to each other so that you can get specific strains. You might have a really good male line of breed X, Y, or Z, and it's through line breeding that you did that. You can outcross. You can go purchase birds from another breeder locally or from another region of the country who does very well and bring in that new genetic stock to introduce, you know, new genes. Perhaps Perhaps you've been getting birds that have great type, but they're very small. And Joe Blow down in Tennessee has excellent birds, same type, very similar to yours, but he's got the size you've been looking for. So you can do some outcrossing, purchase some birds, and usually when you bring in new genes, that improves your genetics, hybrid vigor. Another option is artificial insemination. If you're comfortable doing this, you can train your males to give you semen based upon an abdominal massage technique. And you can collect that, and instead of putting the males in with the females, you can sell just the semen to friends and neighbors, but shipping it can be rather difficult. That can be a very difficult task. But you can use artificial insemination to deliver the semen to pens of hens throughout your farm rather than putting the male in there. Could be he's just too aggressive and you have to teach him abdominal massage so that you can use his genetic material in pens where the hens would just be too beat up. Maybe they're too small and just wouldn't handle it.
That'll be a whole other show.
Yeah. Yes, it would.
We're going to have a show on that, because we're missing the other half of actually how you then use that to manually to fertilize your hen. So
it has to be demonstrated, because it is a very, very specialized technique. Takes a while to teach it to the chickens.
Sounds like fun.
But there you
I'll go talk to
little...
my rooster about it as soon as I get home. So, come here upright.
Make a YouTube of that. Make a YouTube of that for us, Pat, and we'll make it go viral.
Yeah. They actually have videos of it. Mike Rowe does it on Dirty Jobs with turkeys. So you can actually see the process. But they already have the birds trained. If you wanted to see the training process, that would be a different video.
You train them to never mind.
Well, abdominal massage.
Yes,
well, they do
both.
Abdominal massage can elicit one of two responses: defecation or ejaculation. You don't want the former.
Okay.
You don't want to collect feces.
You
want to collect feces. Genetic material.
All right. Okay.
So that would be a whole different workshop in and of itself.
Yes, yes. You teach that, I bet, with your poultry classes?
No. We don't have enough males to do that with. And I don't have the time to train them, honestly.
You only need one, don't you?
It doesn't always work with every male.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
You have to have a bank of them.
Okay.
But that is one way to kind of break a disease cycle is to use artificial insemination, and instead of someone bringing their chicken over to your farm for breeding purposes, you can just use the semen.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, there
awesome.
You go. Hopefully for some of your listeners, this will be a little something to think about. They may not be ready to do it this year, but showing and breeding. I know you have some younger listeners out there who participate in this, and, you know, you can think about your breeding pens and talk to the judges. Some younger showmen, you might be able to ask the judge some questions and learn what he or she did or did not like about your chickens and include that information in your scrapbook of sorts for the year.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Good advice.
There you have it.
Advice. Excellent advice.
Thank you,
Professor.
Thank you very much. Yeah, absolutely. People were saying in the chat room, learn something new every day on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. You might have to listen for an hour and 23 minutes to learn that something new, but you'll learn something new on this show most every day, whether it be at the beginning or the end of the show. So you heard it here first on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, and we're going to get on to our chicken trivia. Dr. McRae, you're more than happy to stay around with us here.
Sure, I can do that.
Thank you so much. Okay, we're going to go ahead. The number to call, if you know the answer, 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. An awesome limited edition print from McMurrayHatchery.com, valued at $40 plus shipping. It's called the Morning Strut Print. In fact, it kind of looks like this rooster had an abdominal massage before he woke up. So here we have the Morning Strut print from McMurrayHatchery.com, valued at $40 plus shipping. If you know the answer to the following question, we'll go to break and come back to hopefully have our winner. And it is, this actually is going to come to us from, I think this came to us from you, Dr. McRae. This term means ungrated eggshells.
Yes, this is a question up on my Facebook page today. I hadn't had any responses from anyone, so okay, this will be a good one.
And that's the whole question. Name the term for ungrated eggshells. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's it.
You
name
got
the
it.
Term for ungrated eggshells, meaning they can't be sold in the store. They're ungrated. That's what that kind of means. Grade A, grade B, grade C. These are
correct.
ungrated eggs, ungrated eggshells. Name the term for that. And you'll tough question, but an awesome prize. So 347-637.
Well, whether you can sell them in the store depends upon your state's rules. But there is a term for eggs that have been sold as ungrated.
Okay. Interesting.
I hope somebody gets this. This is a fun one.
This is cool. All righty, we'll be back right after this short break. Call in right now if you know the answer.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird.
Today's Chicken Trivia Contest is brought to you by...
McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at McMurrayHatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery.
Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We're running out of time. We've got about 2 minutes left in the show, and we've got to break it down. And so we've got one caller. We've got one out there that might know the answer to this question. So I'm going to get the number down. So if they get it right, I can give them a call back. One person. Here we go. Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. You're live with Andy, Pat, and Dr. McRae. You're calling from area code 978. 978, if you'll state your name and what state you're calling from, please.
Hi, it's Bob in Massachusetts.
Bob, how you doing? Hadn't heard from you in a while. Thank you very much for calling. We've got about less than 2 minutes left now. What is your answer or your guess for today's question?
My guess is nest run.
Dr. McRae. Oh, hang on just a minute. My bad. During the break, I put everybody on mute. Dr. McRae,
concur. Congratulations. Good job.
Yes, perfect. Excellent. Very, very good.
All right.
Wow, I couldn't even find, some people are saying they couldn't even find that on Google. They couldn't even find it on Google. How about that? Very cool,
How
Bob.
How did you know that, Bob?
I saw it this morning on Facebook, and at break time, I checked it out, and I won't tell my search engine secrets, but it's out there on the web.
Good job.
Very congratulations. Hey, Bob, I know you know the drill. Just Facebook me your shipping address. I'll get it over to Matthew at McMurray Hatchery. Congratulations. And we hope you have a great day. Thanks for playing.
All right. Thanks a lot, Andy.
And very quickly, I want to thank you, Dr. McRae, for coming on first.
Well,
and
thank you.
Third,
it's fun being
Thursdays.
Here. It's
great
very
information.
Fun.
Thank you so much. And, of course, as always, I'll give you a ring after the radio show. And, Pat, thank you very much. Thanks for tuning in today. Tomorrow is another great, fun Friday. We've almost made it through another fun week together. We hope you can tune in right here at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Pat, 30 seconds.
Yeah, well, I know it's winding down here. Of course, Andy, and of course, thanks to you also for bringing us all together. And Bridget, Dr. McRae, Nestron, I don't want to know the origin of that one. Appreciation to our chat rooms and all our listeners for clucking along. And of course, blessings to all, and may the flock be with you. God bless everybody.
¶¶